This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast. On November 30th, 2021, then 15-year-old Ethan Crumbly opened fire at Oxford High School, killing four students in the attack and injuring many others. 2 years later, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. On Tuesday, April 9th, Ethan's parents, James and Jennifer Crumbly, were each sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison, convicted on four counts of involuntary manslaughter by two separate juries in connection to their son's school shooting. The landmark convictions mark the first time in U.S. history that the parents of a school shooter have been held criminally liable for their child's crime. Joining me once again with a look at this historic case is WJR Detroit senior news analyst Marie Osborne. This landmark conviction and now sentencing marks the first time in U.S. history that the parents of a school shooter have been held criminally liable for their child's crime. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, as you said, this is the first time this has ever happened. So much new ground was covered here. James and Jennifer Crumbly were accused of providing their child with a weapon, with a gun that they had evidence showing through social media that this gun was purchased for this child, Ethan Crumbly, their son. And it was given to him as a present, a Christmas present. Now, this was back in 2021, around November, end of November of 2021. They're accused of doing that. And in addition, they were also accused of being negligent in that they did not see that their son was spiraling into deep mental illness. And they really ignored his pleas for help. They had evidence and text messages of their son, Ethan, who had texted a friend and said, look, I need help, but my parents aren't doing anything to help me. So that was basically the case against these two people. They were both found guilty. They were convicted on cases of involuntary manslaughter, four counts each of involuntary manslaughter. And this was in connection to the Oxford High School shooting, which occurred on November 30th of 2021.
I want to talk to you for a moment, Marie, about the statements that the parents each made in court. Now, in print, the summary has been, you know, essentially that each made statements of remorse and devastation and apologies. But for those of us who heard it live, that's not quite how it read, to be frank. And I wonder what sort of impact their statements have had on the community among those people who have argued they were clearly using it as a moment to make it about themselves and to potentially reduce or lessen their sentences, and a little bit callous as to the devastation that the families of the killed feel.
Well, James and Jennifer Crumbly, we should say, appeared in court for the sentencing. They were both wearing prison uniforms because they are now convicted of a crime, and they were wearing these uniforms. Jennifer Crumbly, when she read her statement to the court, faced the judge and pretty much directed her comments right to the judge. And she did talk a lot about how she did not know her son was in any trouble at all because he had never been in trouble before. She said they'd never had problems with him. So why would they have thought that this that he would have committed this type of crime? She also clarified something because during her trial, when she was on the stand, she did take the stand on her own behalf, but she was asked, would you have done anything differently? And she said, no, I wouldn't have done anything differently, which of course caused a lot of commentary that day and after that about what it, how could she say she wouldn't have done anything differently? Four students ended up dead. Why wouldn't you say you would do something differently? Well, she clarified that yesterday in her statement to the judge by saying, if I knew then what I know now, of course I would have done things differently. I would have acted differently. But in her statement, she just asked the judge to have mercy on her. She said that she wanted to just ask the judge to be fair in passing a sentence. James Crumley was a little different. He actually stood when he did his statement to the judge. He faced the victims' families in the gallery there that was in the courtroom. And he said that he was so very sorry that these people were suffering so much due to the actions of his son. And, you know, that's a very important distinction because people wanted them to say, it's because of my actions that my son took the actions that he did and therefore caused all this pain. But that's not what was said. And we also should state that in her statement to the court, in her paperwork to the court, Jennifer Crumley indicated that there would be an appeal. So you know that that's why neither one of these people said anything like that, because of course then that they would be admitting to the charges against them and a large degree of guilt.
We're going to take a quick break. More from our guest after this.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Marie, how do you anticipate their inevitable appeals going?
It's not clear right now how we're going to see these appeals shake out. I will tell you that there was one issue that was brought up not long after the both of the verdicts came in. And I'll tell you about that for a second. The Oakland County prosecutor, Karen McDonald, who brought these charges against these parents, as you said, first time in this country that we've seen these type of charges. It was disclosed that the prosecution in their interviewed school staff, two people in particular, the school counselor that dealt with Ethan Crumley on the day of the shooting and the vice principal. And they were offered not immunity in that word, but they were offered a guarantee that they would not be prosecuted. They wanted their statement. They needed their statement for the prosecution. So they essentially were giving them the immunity that they would not be prosecuted based on what they said. So a lot of people are pretty upset about that because, number one, the defense was not told about this. The defense was not told about these agreements. And as you well know, it's been brought to court several times that the defense must have all of the information it needs to put up a vigorous defense. And so they're going to argue likely that they, because they were not told about this agreement, they were unable to really give the defense that they should have for their clients. So I anticipate we're going to see something there. And there may be other issues as well that we're going to see.
And on that note, let's sort of talk philosophically for a moment and what the conversation is like nationally and specifically too there in that community. There are those that argue, legally speaking, Ethan Crumley was indeed held criminally liable and therefore the crime has been accounted for in our criminal justice system, and that the criminal justice system does not account for negligence that occurs in the civil system. And that's why we've seen precedent occur time and time again for a civil negligence culpability surrounding violent crimes like this. On the other hand, many are arguing that there is indeed a point where negligence becomes so gross, so reckless, that it does rise to a criminal standard. And that is why we've seen precedent set in the Ghost Ship Warehouse, for example, in Oakland, or bartenders that have overserved. There indeed is precedent for both, but it sort of sits differently depending on the conversation one is holding. And I'm wondering what the community feels like there in Michigan about that.
You know, there's not been a lot of, I've not had a lot of feedback on that. I think that, I know that there is concern among a lot of people that this is going to open the door for all sorts of prosecution of parents who either look the other way or are negligent and their children end up committing some crime that ends up killing somebody. So there is that concern. But the prosecutor, Karen McDonald, said she did not believe that this was going to open the floodgates for all kinds of other legal actions against parents. She said, in this case, the evidence was so egregious against these parents that this was a special set of circumstances, and that's why they were able to bring this to trial. And there was a lot of doubts that they would even be able to bring it to trial, much less prosecute it, much less win a conviction on this. So she says that it's just this particular set of circumstances that really brought her to filing these charges. Again, there was time and time again, all this evidence. First of all, the evidence that they bought their son the gun, and it was clearly his gun. It was clearly a gift to him because that was shown in various pieces of evidence. Also, the gun was not properly secured. They had one of the pieces of evidence that they showed was the gun lock still in the plastic bag without it ever having been opened. So they knew that the gun lock was not on the gun. And in addition, there were all these different text messages and messaging between Ethan Crumley and his friends that he was having hallucinations, hearing voices, that he in fact did tell his parents about all of this and they ignored him. So these are very special circumstances.
And to that point, I think it's important to acknowledge that there, for the resources available for families who might find themselves in a similar situation or a child that has conveyed that they need help, that there are such resources, and that when you look at that and analyze the situation, so to your point, an especially egregious and arguably very clear situation of that culpability, do we hold or want to subscribe any responsibility on the part of the school? There were many warning signs that were communicated to the teachers and principals and the like. Do we see any type of resources changing or protocol changing on the school end?
Well, as you know, school resources in terms of offering mental health services to students have been cut across the country. So that's a difficult thing that we're all going to have to look at as members of the community. But number two, you bring up a very good point, and that is, what was the school's role in all this? And yesterday in the statement that James Crumley made to the court, he said, he told one of the parents specifically, Tate Mears' dad, he said, "You said we don't have all the answers. We don't know all the truth of what happened here. And I agree with you. And we need to know what happened and why it happened." The school's role in this is still open-ended. It's still out there. I'm not sure where we may see that go, but there are a couple of victims' parents here who say they're not letting that go. They want to see the school held to some level of responsibility for what happened that day and why it happened the way that it did. So I just wanted to make that point, that that part of this story is still not over.
You know, when I heard that live, there were so many things that flashed through my head of what he could mean by that. So I thank you for that clarification, because there are a lot of unanswered questions. But at that moment, it's like, what part is he talking about? You know, and again, feeling like whether that was the right place, but if that's the only opportunity he had to speak, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Any last thoughts, Marie, on this tragic case and on the sentencing of the parents?
Well, it's, you know, again, this is unprecedented. I think that Prosecutor Karen McDonald, who, by the way, has done a lot of other innovative programs within the county here in Michigan. She really went out on a limb on this one. She really moved very strongly on this case. I definitely think this is a warning for all parents, all school districts to take seriously when a student presents for help. In this case, we saw Ethan Crumley doing these designs and these drawings on his homework. And the parents and schools, by the way, the teachers, by the way, reported all that. Apparently, the teachers were doing what they were supposed to be doing. I think the failure may have happened a little bit above that. So it is a warning for parents. It's a warning for schools. There are many takeaways here, many lessons to be learned. And also the issue of gun violence in our schools is really the overarching theme to this story. And I don't know that we've made any real headway on that yet. Mm.
Marie, it's so wonderful to have you. We are so grateful for your reporting and your analysis. Marie Osborne, thank you. And we will be sure to talk with you as developments arise in this historic case.
My pleasure, Emily. Thank you for the invite.
To hear more stories like this, you can listen to our past episodes on the Fox True Crime Podcast. Go to foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts to listen and subscribe. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. If you have a story or topic you want to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at truecrimepodcast@fox.com.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.